We begin to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup World Championships November 5th and 6th at Del Mar in Southern California. This segment brought to you each week by Breeders' Cup. Brad, that little montage we just heard of those four wins from last year. I mean, come on, one win is great, two wins is spectacular, three wins is amazing, and four wins, Brad Cox is just showing off at that point, isn't he?
Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, it's first of all, thanks for having me on. But, yeah, no, it was a spectacular weekend. Horses showed up and ran the races, and, you know, they were all well-meant. Obviously, you know, I think three of the four were favored, and, you know, I was very proud of our team, and you know, we were able to execute in some key races, and it was a great weekend.
Yeah, all four of those horses still in training, too. Give me a quick update on Aunt Pearl and Monomoy Girl.
Well, Aunt Pearl, you know, no secret there. She bled a little bit in the Edgewood. We gave her a little bit of time after that, just relax, and she's hanging out at Windstar Farm right now. And Monomoy Girl as well. She's getting a little bit of a break. You know, she trained for a few weeks after the Apple Blossom there at Churchill. Just wasn't super happy with the way she was moving, thought she needed a little break. And, you know, she'd been in training a while, so she's getting a well-deserved break. She's going to get an evaluation this week, and hopefully, you know, we can put a game plan together in the near future with her.
You know, I'm running a poll question this morning, as I do every Saturday morning here on the show, and I asked our listeners to tell me who they think is going to be the one to win the 153rd Belmont Stakes this afternoon. And right now, 52% of the vote coming in for Essential Quality. He is by far the leader in that category right now. So you've got HRN Nation in your corner. I'm assuming, Brad Cox, that you feel like he's sitting on a pretty big race too.
Yeah, absolutely. We obviously wouldn't be here if we wasn't happy with the way he's training. And, you know, he's had three works since the Kentucky Derby. And his last two, you know, this first one was just kind of a maintenance, lame stretch his legs a little bit. But his last two have been very, very good. And he shipped up, and he's really handled things well here at Belmont. He's he had like a mile gallop this morning, and afterwards, I mean, he was feeling good. He was fresh, happy, very intelligent horse, knows it's race day. So, you know, I think he's set up for a big effort. I really, really do. I think he'll like the mile and a half. I'm happy with the post, and, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Kieran McLaughlin joined me earlier in the show, and he, of course, talked about jockey Luis Saez, who he is now his agent. And he said unquestionably that Essential Quality was the best horse in the Kentucky Derby, and had it not been for a little bit of trouble and a wide trip, that he thinks that he was absolutely the best horse in the race and he was the winner. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, I do look at figures. I know it's not the end all, but you know, I think the figures, some of the figures had him the best horse in the race. And, you know, I think he ran a winning race. And I was very proud of the effort, but, you know, it's, I always say you got to have a little racing luck, and I don't feel as though he had it in the Kentucky Derby. It's a race where you really need it. And he just really didn't have it. He didn't have a good trip, a lot of ground loss, no knock on Louis at all. He did a good job of getting him in the position he needed to get him in. But obviously the bump at the beginning, I think, compromised him a bit in order to get the position going into the first turn.
Quite often we hear trainers say that this horse is a Belmont-type horse, this horse is a Derby-type horse, and sometimes you think it's just trainer speak, but with you, with Essential Quality, you thought right away that this horse could be a Belmont-type horse ever since his first workout. That story has been well documented, that you told people after that first work you thought he could be a Belmont-type horse. What is it that makes a horse a quote-unquote Belmont type of horse? Is it pedigree? Is it the way he moves? What is it, Brad?
Well, honestly, I don't know, because I've never had one. So I was just, you know, the thing that caught my eye when his first work was just, you know, how fit he was when he came to us, and how much stamina he had. Just thought he was, you know, well conditioned. Niall Brennan prepared him, did a great job with him, and he just came to us, and, you know, he just stays on. I mean, it's just amazing how he just stays on. You know, if you look back at his It would have been the Breeders' Futurity last year. Louis came back. First time the horse ever run long in his life, second start of his life, and the outrider had to pull him up at the 5/8 pole on the backside. I mean, it's like, wow. Louis come back, he's like, wow, this horse never gets tired. So, you know, obviously stuff like that gives you the confidence, thinks that he'll go the mile and a half. Obviously, he still has to get the trip, and you never really know till you try, but I feel pretty confident that, you know, he's one that should be able to handle the mile and a half.
Talking with trainer Brad Cox, going down the road to the Breeders' Cup here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, you'll hear this segment each week through the Breeders' Cup in November. Brad, I want to talk to you about a couple of the other contenders you have in on the undercard, in particular the horses that are in those Breeders' Cup winning your in races today. But before we do, Mandaloon, massive effort in the Kentucky Derby. There's a good chance that he ends up being the winner of the Kentucky Derby, considering the situation surrounding Medina Spirit and trainer Bob Baffert. I know you said earlier, and I can imagine that's the case, this is not the way you would like to win your first Kentucky Derby, but I'm sure you'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's there's obviously not much of a thrill with it at all. I think that's one reason why so many people and myself are attracted to this game, is the thrill it gives you in victory. And, being placed first through a DQ is not, nothing like, getting to the wire first and having your win picture taken. So, you know, listen, unfortunate circumstances, I'm hopeful that, the business, the whole business, we can learn something from this as far as the length. I've said, maybe some more pre-race testing may be in line to somehow, especially with, very prestigious races such as grade ones, maybe where we could, have all the testing done prior to the race somehow, some way. I don't have the answer to that, but, I'm hopeful that, something good can come from it. And that would be one idea I would have, would just, when we lead them over there, we know that everything's clean and clear and we're ready to go.
And as a fellow trainer, I can imagine, Brad, that has to be somewhat difficult for you to watch what's happening here with Bob Baffert, because of the fact that, considering withdrawal times are different from state to state, you take every precaution you can when you ship around. That one day, maybe that's you sitting in this position where something doesn't come out of the horse's system in time, or the withdrawal times, or, all of those things are so confusing in our sport right now. There has to be a better way, doesn't there?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And once again, I'm, not one that can, say exactly what needs to happen, but yeah, it needs to be uniform. There's no doubt. State, we uniform with medication. There's no doubt it needs to happen throughout the country or the world or whatever. I do feel like we've adjusted well with the Lasix situation. Obviously, most places we have for graded stakes are now Lasix free, and obviously the 2-year-olds from last year. This is our first Lasix free Triple Crown, and I don't know how long. Obviously, maybe I guess since the 80s or 90s, I'm not sure. But, I think that's all went well. I do think we all have to get on the same page somehow, some way, as far as, moving forward and just trying to, keep the public, believing in our game. And like I said, pre-race testing would be the biggest thing I think we could somehow orchestrate or organize to obviously run a cleaner game, I guess you would say.
Where will we see Mandaloon next?
We're pointing him next Sunday at Monmouth for the Pegasus. That's Monmouth's local prep for the Haskell, and that's obviously where it goes, the Haskell. So we feel like he does need a race between the Kentucky Derby and the Haskell. We felt like the 6 weeks between the Kentucky Derby, 6 weeks and a day between the Kentucky Derby and the Pegasus made the most sense, and then obviously it's back 5 weeks from Pegasus to Haskell, provided everything goes well in the Pegasus.
Let's walk back through some of the other contenders you have on the undercard today. We talked about Essential Quality in the Belmont. How about Nick's Go coming back in the Hillendale Metropolitan Handicap? Boy, he's a good horse, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. And I tell you, he's training every bit as well as he was leading up to, say, the Dirt Mile or the Pegasus. When a horse goes to the Middle East and comes back, you really never know how they're going to come back, right? I mean, so many horses have come over there and just never been the same in the afternoon. He's given us all the right signs that he is the same horse before Saudi Arabia trip, and now, you know, obviously he has to show up and do it in the afternoon. But he's given us every indication that he's the same horse. We obviously were pointing for the Steve Sexton mile, but with the defection of Charlotte didn't give us enough confidence with how well he's training to come up here and try to run in this grade one.
You're going to catch a couple of defections out of that Ogden Phipps today, too, so you get a very small field in there. You have two contenders, Bonnie South and She Dares the Devil. Talk to me about each of them.
They're both doing as well as they could do. Bonnie South, it really seems like she's improved at four. She's had the one run there at Keeneland in the Double Dog Dare that was a big race. They're both training well. They've actually met before early in their three-year-old season last year, and Bonnie defeated her, but just late got by. She Dares the Devil late. So, you know, they're both, you know, I think they're very comparable fillies in regards to talent. They have different styles. Obviously, She Dares the Devil does like to lay close, and Bonnie's more of a, you know, can set off of it a little bit. So, you know, I think we're in a good spot with both of them. I wouldn't be shocked if they're both right there today. They're both doing well. I don't know if – I think maybe the scratch of Swiss Skydiver actually helps She Dares the Devil where it doesn't complement Bonnie quite as well. But, you know, we'll see. I'm confident they'll both run big races.
Yeah, Swiss Skydiver coming out of the race yesterday. Valiant's coming out as well. So both of those horses are going to be scratched. So down to a field of five in the Ogden Phipps, and Brad Cox will have two of the five contenders in there. In the Acorn, you send out Travel Column. We know how good she can be. Tell me about Travel Column and how she's coming into that race.
She's doing well. I'm excited about shortening her up to the mile. You know, she was on the lead in the Kentucky Oaks. She ran a big race, was there, you know, to the eighth pole and just tired late, you know, was beaten by some really good fillies. Obviously, this is another very good group of fillies as well. You know, she just broke from the one hole. I think we should have a target or two in front of us, and I'm hopeful with a clean trip she'll, you know, be in the mix. She's, you know, she needs to break through and get a grade one. She's grade one place, multiple grade two winners. So, you know, we do need to pick off a grade one with her. We're hopeful that today's the day.
All right, and one more to talk about. That's Caddo River, who comes back, again, shortening up in the Woody Stevens today, which is the third race on the card. Cuts back to 7/8 of a mile. Should hit him square between the eyes, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. I do feel like he's probably more of a one-turn horse. You know, we had the opportunity to run him in the Kentucky Derby. He obviously qualified with having a big, you know, enough points for the Kentucky Derby. Just felt like a mile and a quarter really wasn't his thing. And you know, as he's trained on, you know, we feel like, you know, he's probably more one-turn horse mile. So, you know, he's got a lot of speed. You know, there is obviously some speed in the race, and I think he drew well. I like the outside post with him shortening back up. He can kind of break and, you know, have a target, and hopefully he can run some horses down late.
Well, I know it's a busy day for you. I'll let you go, Brad. But before I do, you know, you are always very accommodating with me, certainly, but with our entire broadcast team, Tom Leach. You've talked with him a few times. I see you on NBC. I see you doing other radio shows and podcasts and in the print media. I don't know how you keep it all straight. All these horses, all these big races, and yet you still make time for these interviews. I don't know what the secret is, but whatever you're doing, keep it rolling because it's working.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate it. And have a good Belmont day.